day, everyone. Dani Oliver here from Beersgiving. I wanted to take some time today to talk to you about who. Who is Beersgiving for? I recently put up something on our social, or actually my social media, rather. Let's see if I can't find it for you. I got some comments about the why behind Beersgiving, which you'll hear shortly. And one of them was that some colleagues in the industry wanted to talk about having their next diversity panel. And I cringed when I saw that. And I was like, no, please, no more panels. I appreciate any and everyone who is in agreement with Beersgiving and the work that's being done. I want to also be clear that Beersgiving's goal and mission is to eliminate diversity panels. That the goal is to actually use action to create change and not any more talk. Now, yes, I know I'm talking in these podcasts, but it's a way for me to give more of a behind the scenes of what's going on. And if anyone really does want to have a panel, I mean, hey, we have this platform, let's use it. But if we're going to put together an event that's going to bring people out, I think we should really look at who. And I think we should look at, maybe we should take that out. We should look at who the panels are for, who would be presented, and who's going to benefit. And I want to talk to you about that today. I want to talk about how, you know, diversity panels don't necessarily help. So who is Beersgiving for? Beersgiving is for women. It's for people of color from around the world. Immigrants, first-generation immigrants, second-generation immigrants, people who are mixed up and you can't really tell what they are. Military families who have been in service of and sacrificed to our great American dream. Basically, marginalized communities. And, you know, some people could think, well, you know, why do you want to even target them? Why are you paying attention? Everyone has equal opportunity in this country to do whatever they want. And, well, in craft career, that's kind of not the case. To be honest with you, we stand today in the year 2020. However, beer, craft beer is still very much in the 1920s. When you think about it from a segregation perspective, from a whites-only fountain to blacks-only fountain, who can sit in front of the bus, who has to go to the back of the bus. And then this roaring 20s renaissance happening only in certain communities and not really mingling with greater industry. Yeah, it sounds kind of like the 1920s and the stuff that was going on back then in segregated communities. So Beersgiving is clearly for the people who have been left out. Now, there are a lot of people who have been left out who have said to themselves, you know what? We're not counting, forget that, we're just going to do our own thing. And I understand the struggle to try to belong, the struggle to try to contribute, the struggle to create space. And allow people to have given up. Yet these panels continue to go on. So I question who are these panels really for? Now, I've spoken to some people in the industry who I hope to get on this podcast to discuss this. And you know, they say that panels are really an opportunity to hear from the other side.
because one side doesn't know what's going on, and so they ask and invite the other side to come and tell them.
Okay, cool. That's been done. It's also quite obvious when we look at hashtags queer,
when we look at queer photos,
we can see what's going on.
Pictures are, as we say, very bright.
The fact of the matter is, while we all have the opportunity to do whatever we want in this country, thanks in part to our military families and other parts of our veterans who fight for that right. Not everyone's included in the opportunity.
So what's been happening since inception is that someone has had the opportunity and the influence on funding, and I say yes, funding, they've reached out because they have the means to build a livelihood, build their dreams, something that others don't have.
Got started and turned to their left and their right.
And what in those who were in proximity to them?
I want to be extra careful to point out that the who in craft beer has very little to do with racism, which is what a lot of people point at. And much more to do with proximity.
Who was there when such and such went looking for help?
Who was willing to help when such and such asked for help?
Who had the ability, the capability, the skill set, the time, the freedom, and the willingness to persevere through the pioneering of something very, very new.
Also, who didn't have tabus and stigmas attached to beer and substances that have otherwise, for the majority of American history, been seen as something negative.
Let me pause here for a second and take you to another industry, marijuana.
Not so long ago, an entire community in the U.S. was decimated from zero tolerance, from the carrying and the use of indigenous medicines such as marijuana.
Fast forward 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden there are multi-million dollar companies that are now profiting from the same medicine that millions of black indigenous people of color behind bars who are still there.
My first adult encounter with marijuana was with a group of coworkers.
All white men. I was finding myself in those industries. We went out for some beers, had a great time, great conversation, and then they wanted to light up. So we went outside, and there, in the middle of Manhattan, out in the open, not in an alley, just on a corner, you know, an intersection of all places, brightly lit, they lit up a joint. I immediately panicked and started to back away and didn't realize that my body was in autopilot until I had gotten a great distance from them and realized that we had to yell to speak to each other. I wasn't going to the trash can. I wasn't going back into the restaurant or the bar. I wasn't leaving. I was panicking. I was in flight mode because here I was standing in the middle of Manhattan at an intersection, having had a couple of beers, and in a group of people who were lighting up marijuana. I wanted no parts. I didn't want to go to jail. But I realized in that moment that my counterparts had no fear, had no trauma, had no understanding of my experience with marijuana and what has kept me away from it in a way that they have been able to explore heal and indulge with it. So let's come back to craft beer. With craft beer, the same has been the case for many of the people who have been left out. We were taught things like, you don't drink in public. You just don't do that. We were taught things like, you're drinking again? What's wrong with you? You must be good for nothing. We were ostracized from our families, alienated from our families, and seen as the black sheep if we indulged in drink the way our counterparts have in craft beer. I mean, after all, every day is a party in craft beer. But every day is also an opportunity to connect, an opportunity to heal, an opportunity to bond, and an opportunity to build greater business opportunities that employ and help the future of this industry. It's all legacy building. But the two sides have seen it differently. And so, in order to understand the two sides, there keeps being diversity panels, and there keeps being name a nationality version of craft beer, and there hasn't really been a great coming together. Enters Beersgiving, the ultimate coming together for all sides in craft beer. So who is different from... Is it different? No. No, it's not. I'll say this. Who is different from who we've seen in craft beer? But not different from who has been historically marginalized. There we go. That's what I wanted to say. Those of us who want to be part of the industry, don't look at it and say, oh, there's no people of color there. I want to be there. Nobody does that. We don't look at it and say, oh, I want to be the only one. Nobody does that. We look at what it is and we dream big and we want to create. And so that's why we enter. But we find that because we're not in proximity, we have a lot harder of a time getting through the doors. And that's not to say that everyone in craft beer hasn't had a hard time. Of course, it's a pioneering industry. So of course we've all had a hard time. But there are some of us who have an extra hard time because where our white counterparts might struggle and break through, we're not even able to play. Some don't have the, what can I say? What can I call this word? The tenacity or the stubbornness to keep going. They don't have the wherewithal to endure through burnout. For instance, since I've been in craft beer, I have not been able to go on vacation. When I do go on vacation, supposedly, when I do a go away, it's for work. So I'm working away from home, not just on vacation. However, my counterparts are able to go on vacation regularly. Their struggle in craft beer is real, but they still have the opportunity to vacate and to educate themselves in terms of going to workshops and conferences and festivals, something that I have not had the privilege of being a part of, and so many others. The who behind craft beer, I said that all wrong. The who behind Beersgiving are those who have not had access in a meaningful way. Those who are not in proximity to our counterparts. Those who have stepped up and said, hey, I want to. but haven't been heard, haven't been seen. If you care about Vera's Giving, if you care about who have been marginalized, if you care that the military is more welcoming and more progressive than the most chill craft beer industry in America, then I encourage you to look at the who and try to think about why they aren't there. That can be scary. But I encourage you to also understand, or at least look at it from a perspective that isn't an ism, but simply proximity. I'll tell you this. When I was in college, I looked around at all my professors and all the professionals and admins in the college I was in. And I looked at the lunchroom and the cleaning staff, and there was a stark difference between them. And I asked my advisor, I scheduled a whole meeting with her, and I said, you know, how come there aren't any professors of color here? And she literally said to me, we would love to have professors of color, but we can't find any professionals. And it was left like that. Well, ladies and gentlemen, throughout Beer's Giving, I will be presenting to you the professionals. I'll be presenting to you those who have raised their hand and have not been seen because they were not in your proximity. I'll be putting them in front of you. I'll be cultivating them for you. I'll be growing that audience, and I'll be touring the country with them. So if you look at what's going on around you, if you look at who's in your proximity and you notice something, please hit me up. I'm happy to help. I'm happy to present, and I'm happy to host Beer's Giving in a city near you so that we can once and for all move the dial and truly have a progressive industry with craft beer and its supporting sectors.